This is VOA News. Via remote, I'm Marissa Milton. U.S. Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm said Sunday that President Joe Biden would be willing to push through his $2 trillion infrastructure plan without the support of Republican lawmakers if he cannot reach a bipartisan deal. Granholm said on CNN's State of the Union that Biden would prefer that his plan have Republican backing. But if that does not work, he would likely use a procedural strategy called reconciliation to allow Democrats to pass it in the Senate. Granholm said most Americans currently support the Democratic president's plan. She's one of several senior Biden administration officials who promoted the proposal on television news shows on Sunday. Since taking office in January, the Democratic president has repeatedly said he wants to work with Republicans. But the infrastructure plan, his second major legislative initiative, so far looks unlikely to draw more bipartisan support than his first, which was a $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief package that passed with only Democratic support last month and also used reconciliation. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell said last week that Biden's infrastructure plan was bold and audacious, but would raise taxes and increase debt. He vowed to fight it, in his words, every step of the way. At least 23 Indian security forces were killed in an ambush by Maoist militants in the central state of Chhattisgarh, officials said on Sunday, reviving concerns around a decades-old insurgency that appeared to have been largely contained in recent years. A large force of Indian security personnel had been carrying out a clearance operation in a densely forested area on the edge of the Bijapur district when they were ambushed by the insurgents on Saturday. The firefight lasted 4 hours. This is VOA News. Two rockets hit near an Iraqi airbase holding U.S. soldiers north of Baghdad Sunday, 3 days ahead of a new strategic dialogue with Washington. This according to a security source who spoke to the French news agency. There was no immediate claim of responsibility for the strike, which caused no casualties or property damage. But the U.S. routinely blames Iran-linked Iraqi factions for such attacks on its troops and diplomats. Sunday's was the 14th attack against American interests since U.S. President Joe Biden took office in January. Demonstrations against military rule continued in Myanmar on Sunday, with many protesters carrying Easter eggs embellished with slogans supporting their movement. Many brandished eggs bearing slogans such as Spring Revolution and We Must Win, as well as drawings of a three-finger salute that's become a symbol of the movement. The eggs were a nod to the Christian holiday Easter, which was celebrated on Sunday. Protesters began taking to the streets after the February 1st coup by the military, in which de facto leader Aung San Suu Kyi, President Win Myint, and other government leaders were arrested. Hundreds of people have been killed in violent crackdowns on protests over the past 2 months. This according to media and other accounts. The Assistance Association for Political Prisoners, a nonprofit human rights organization based in Myanmar, has tallied 557 deaths and more than 2,750 arrests since the protests began. Kosovo's parliament has appointed a 38-year-old U.S.-educated female law professor and candidate of the ruling party as the country's new president following the February election. Vjosa Osmani took over as acting president of Kosovo last November when her predecessor, Hashim Thaçi, resigned ahead of his impending war crimes trial in the Netherlands. Osmani's initial mandate expired when the new government took over after the February election. Sunday, the 120-seat parliament voted in favor of appointing Osmani president by 71 votes. Opposition parties and civil society watchdogs have criticized her appointment, saying that having a president, prime minister, and speaker of parliament all from the same party is not welcome in a country with a fragile democracy. In a speech, Osmani called for a dialogue aimed at normalizing ties with Serbia, but said Belgrade must first apologize and prosecute those responsible for war crimes committed during the 1998 and 1999 war that ultimately led to Kosovo becoming independent in 2008. Former President Thaçi, a wartime hero turned politician, is in The Hague awaiting trial before the Netherlands-based Kosovo War Crimes Court. He denies the charges against him. Via remote, I'm Marissa Milton, VOA News.